We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to be spending the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God and the fact that we are supposed to be people who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the great commandment. We talked about that on Friday's program. We're going to be going back and revisiting that today in Mark chapter 12. Want to start off today by saying thank you to Treasure Your Landscape. Their love for Jesus is greatly appreciated. The skill set that he has placed within them is of great benefit to the people of Brevard County. I had a guy that retired. He cut my hair. He used to say, "I'm doing my part to keep Brevard beautiful." And he was talking about the lady's hair that he cut, not mine. I am in no way making Brevard County more beautiful, but he did keep me looking with an executive hairstyle, and kept my super curly hair under control for a couple of decades, and greatly appreciate him and pray blessings upon him in his retirement. But Treasure Your Landscape uses their skill set to not only make the county beautiful, but they do that through individual pieces of property and projects. They know plants, they know what will work well, what won't work well, where it should be planted. Dan even helped me, you know, understand watering, the irrigation principle. When they first redid the front of our church a couple of years ago. Treasure Your Landscape is a great blessing. They love Jesus. They love what they do. They want to make your outdoor area something you will treasure, whether that is through artificial turf or landscape lighting, water features, whether it is a putting green or paver installation or drains and downspouts. If you've got a vision in mind, they can make that vision into a reality. Treasure Your Landscape, their phone number is 321-749-1432. If you want to see what they have available product-wise, you could either come to the church and see for yourself, or you can drive up to Space Coast Nursery, which is part of their business portfolio, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. That is north of the Barge Canal on the east side of the road across from Sunset Lakes. They are open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Phone number there is 321-452-5565. They're a licensed and insured family business. They've been in Brevard County with 20 years of landscaping experience underneath their belt. And They do a great, great job. They travel anywhere throughout the county. If you're looking to have an outdoor project done, they would be a great resource for you to consider. 321-749-1432. So today we're going back to Mark chapter 12, and this may take a little bit of an unexpected turn for you from what you might have traditionally heard. If so, it's something for you to consider. So before I get to what it says there in Mark chapter 12, I'll read it, and then I'll share with you some other things that I found in my studies here about this. It says, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I just like to point out, as we dive into this today, it starts with listening. A lot of times people come into a conversation with what they want to say instead of focusing on what they need to hear. When it comes to our relationship with God, the relational dynamic is of this nature. Do we talk to God? Absolutely. But in our conversation with Him, we are coming in faith, knowing that He knows what we have need of before we ask. And so we can come persistently. We can come in faith. We come because of covenant relationship and knowing that God is for us, not against us. So even though we do use our voice in communicating with Him, really the most important aspect of our conversations with Him is listening. Now, whenever you are in a discussion with a person who does not want to change, one of the first things that they will do is they will stop listening and they will just try and increase the volume of the things that they are trying to say. And they will go round and round and round and round, and they will just stay in this perpetual loop, because for them it is not about the possibility of being enlightened or educated. It's about their expression, and because they're expressing it, it must be right. And if you disagree with them, you are obviously incorrect. So I tell people, I'm not here to force the Word of God upon anybody. I am here to present the Word of God, and how people respond to it is their free will. But I'm getting ready to take it in a situation or in a direction here that you may not expect. So first of all, let me get to this thing that Adam Clark, who is an old time commentator, wrote. It says, "This is the first and greatest commandment. It is first and greatest in its antiquity, being as old as the world and engraved originally on our very nature. It is the first and greatest in its dignity, as directly and immediately proceeding from and referring to God. First and greatest in its excellence, being the commandment of the new covenant and the very spirit of the divine adoption. In its fruitfulness, because it is the root of all commandments and the fulfilling of the law. In its necessity, being absolutely indispensable. In its duration, ever to be continued on earth and never to be discontinued in heaven. It is a commandment that will never end." I am working myself out of a job. And what I mean by that is when we get to heaven, there will not be a need for a preacher. Everyone will have full awareness of God and his nature, and there will not be any sin. There will not need to be any repentance. It will be a perfect environment. Everyone will know God, and I won't need to be preaching, but I will get to worship. I will get to sit at His feet. And so what we do here on earth is to make sure that there are as many people in heaven in love with God as we can possibly reach in our lifetime. So we talked on Thursday and Friday about the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse number 31 says, and the second like it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And a lot of times people just automatically shift the focus, love God, love my neighbor, but that misses out on the connecting point. It says when we love our neighbor, we do it as we love ourselves. Now, I know some people who are absolutely, completely in love with themselves. They are self-absorbed. They think that they are the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to everyone's life, not just their life. They are self-centered, self-focused. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how does a person best love themselves? Well, they do that by the first commandment. They love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all of their strength. That has benefit for us. Having a relationship with Jesus, it unburdens us from the control of sin. It relieves us of the burden of sin. And the eternal consequence of sin, the guilt of sin. And so there is a wonderful relief that comes up into our life because we love the Lord our God. We repent of our sins. We ask him to forgive us our sins and to be the Lord of our life. I heard it said one time that the best thing that a person can do for their children, what a man can do for his children, is to be passionately in love with his wife. I need to elevate that statement a little bit higher and say that the best thing that a man can do for his children is to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. Jesus makes a world of difference in my life, in your life, and those around us will benefit from having a relationship where we're not trying to minimize our relationship with God, but we're trying to maximize that relationship with God. So once I have that relationship with God enables me to love my wife better than I could have possibly ever loved her without God. You know, there's an expression that I've been mulling in my spirit for a couple of weeks, and it was a statement that was said at Jesus' resurrection: why are you looking for the living among the dead? And here's my thought. I mean, I know the context that statement was made in, that they were looking for Jesus in a grave, and he was risen, and he's the resurrection and the life, and that means so much for us. It means that death no longer gets to demoralize us. It causes us to know that we have a hope and a future, and that Jesus gets the last word. Death does not. I understand that context. But there are a lot of people who are looking for life relationships apart from God, and apart from God is death. And so there are some things that are physically existing, but they're spiritually dead. And, you know, God coming into that situation, his presence radically changes it. Jesus shows up in the Gospel of John at Mary and Martha's house, and all of a sudden they are moved from weeping to worshiping. And even though they didn't quite get to the state of belief at that point in time, Jesus ends up raising Lazarus up out of the dead. And so they go from weeping to worshiping to being in awe. Literally, that event, Lazarus being raised from the dead, created a whole different level of spiritual expectancy. The crowds got louder, and to the point that the religious leadership was looking to kill Lazarus because so many people were putting their faith in Jesus because Lazarus was right there. We saw him wrapped, we saw him entombed, we saw him cut off, and now we see him alive and healthy. I don't believe he was just raised up in the same condition. I believe that when Jesus raised him up from the dead, that what the disease that had killed him no longer had its power on him. That's my take. You disagree with it? I'm okay with that. I'm just going to continue to believe that Jesus not only conquered death, he conquered the vehicle that death used in Lazarus' life. So, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The best thing that I can do is love Jesus. The best thing that I can do after that is to love my wife. It's the source where I get the love to be able to love that person to the best of my ability. If a person is not invested in something, they will be able to walk away from it very easily. That's why many people who get things given to them for free do not have any appreciation for it, because they haven't felt the weight. It hasn't cost them. It's just been a benefit to them. And so the things that you work hard for, the things that you're fully invested in, those things mean a great deal to you. So I am not just pastoring Merit Assembly of God for the season that I'm here to pastor. That season's been 33 plus years at this point in time. But I'm pastoring Merit Assembly of God so that if the Lord tarries in his return, Merit Assembly of God will be set up to be pastored in a God-pleasing way for as long as the Lord should tarry until he returns. I'm looking to set people up to succeed. So our mission statement is to be a blessing, to God first, a blessing to our family second, to be a blessing to our church third, and to be a blessing to the community fourth. But the first blessing has got to be to have a relationship with God. Many people put God at the very lowest end, not the foundation. I'm not saying they put him first, they put him last. So at one point in time, I had done some premarital counseling, and I felt like I was not succeeding at that the way that I wanted to. And I served on a committee. In that committee was a guy who did premarital counseling for one of the largest churches in Central Florida. This brother's passed on, and so he was talking about what he had developed, and I said, I told him, look, I don't want to fail in this area. Marriages are too important. I want to help set people up to succeed. And I said, could I have your resources? And he said, no. I said, okay, wasn't expecting that. He said, but if you'll come over to my church, I will walk through my material with you. And then after I've gone through it with you, I will give it to you. And so that's what I did. And in that material, it's presented to both the husband and the wife to be. And I say, okay, fill out the priorities and there's nothing, I don't tell people what priorities to fill out these things. What is important in your life? Moving from the most important to the least important, you fill it out. What's important to you? And then there's an identical one. And it's like, fill this out as to what is important to your spouse. And a lot of times you are able to identify areas of possible friction whenever you see that there are different priorities. And so the Bible says that we're supposed to be equally yoked, not unequally yoked, where the things that are important to me should line up relatively well with the things that are important to my wife, and both of those things should line up with what is important to God. And so if we want to have peaceful, wholesome, holy relationships, God's got to be the preeminent focus in the way that I love myself. So it's probably been a couple of decades ago now. It's hard to believe how fast time has flown. But I was walking through this hotel. It was a hotel where there were some minister meetings happening, and I was there, and I had to walk quite a ways to get to the car. And my wife wasn't able to make that trip. And as I was walking, God said to me, you know, I've been very good to you. And I said, yes, Lord, you have. You've been very good to me. He said, I've been better to you than you could have ever been to yourself. And I was like, whoa, that's really something. He said, I've taken you places that you never would have gone on your own. So the focus of today's message is make sure that you understand that the best thing that could ever happen in your life and in my life is to have the best relationship with Jesus we could possibly have. That when it comes to his authority in my life, it's unrestricted access. That anything he puts his finger on is a yes, Lord. There are things in my life that other people may participate in. There are people who participate in substances that are legal But there are things in my life that God said, no, I don't want you in that. And so I'm not there to judge the people that are doing those other things unless they're unbiblical. But there are things that people are doing, and I was like, no, I'm going to understand, because I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that if God says no, that he is better equipped to address that area of my life than I can. He knows more than I do. He realizes, and you know what happens is, the more that time goes on, the more that the Word of God ends up being proved right, and things that God has said, hey, I don't want you doing this, and people have said, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. The more that time goes on and science comes back and says, you know, that's not the healthiest thing for a person. And I'm telling you, God will never be wrong. So I coined this phrase. If you're ever in an argument with God and you win the argument, you lost. But if you're ever in an argument with God and you lose the argument, you've won, because now your life is going to line up with God's so much better than it did before. I will tell you that being in alignment with God's word is of great, great benefit. I don't want to change the word of God to line up with what I want it to say. I want to change me to line up with whatever God's word has to say. So before we get into the Great Commission aspect of the greatest commandment, I wanted to present it to you today and say the best thing that you could do for your family, for your descendants, for your health, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. It's better than being a billionaire. It is better than being in perfect physical shape. It is better than having all of the goods that this world could afford. I'm telling you, a relationship with God where you are all in for him and he's all in with you and you're doing life in covenant together, that is the best gift you could ever give to yourself. Sometimes around Christmas, people will say, this is the gift I got myself. I want you to know, Jesus came as the gift from the Father, but he's also the gift that we can give ourselves so that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. You have a great day. Special episode tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Thank you.